everyone, welcome to the 20th episode. Yes, 20th episode of Is Podcast Ko Kya Naam Do? Today we have a guest with us, but before we introduce her, I'm S.
Amrit.
And we have with us
Ruchi.
All right, before I begin this podcast, this episode is being released on Barun Sobti, aka Arnav Singh Raizada's birthday. Happy birthday, Barun. Thank you so much for playing Arnav Singh Raizada and making a permanent place in our lives. May you have the most wonderful projects to do, and may you have a lot of happiness. May your family be happy. May you prosper and feel fulfilled as an actor and go beyond.
So obviously, Ruchi needs no introduction because she's very famous in the IPK fandom. You're basically sitting with a mini celebrity here. So she is, she's like, no, this is not true. You're such name.
You want me to message Jigs to come yell at you? I could do that.
Yes. So she is Arshi 67 on IPK. So you must have, anyone who has ever visited the IPK forum in India forums must know that she exists. She's one of the most eloquent, kindest, compassionate, and wittiest people out there. So, Ruchi ji, bataye, how did you fall in love with IPK?
How can one not fall in love with IPK? I think I was hooked from the first scene of the first episode. I came upon it quite a while after it had started showing, and I watched all the episodes on YouTube. I think I stayed up for a straight 36 hours and didn't stop, because I think I had about a year's episodes to catch up on before I could then watch it live. And that was agony, watching it live, because you had to then wait for 24 hours to know what happens next. So yes, that's how it happened.
Arnav's eyes. That's how she fell in love with IPK.
Arnav's eyes is a common theme of people falling in love with IPK.
His profile, his eyes, his everything.
Maybe I'm the exception. My initial impression of Arnav was like, this asshole. I never want to see him again. So.
Oh my god. Yeah, no, that's definitely there. But I think the cast and crew were extremely gifted to have brilliant casting and brilliant like crew in the first place, due to which it was a very aesthetically pleasing and very different. It's a big departure from its contemporaries. Like the first episode itself, we just started with bang on in the middle of a plot, which I think is a perfect recipe for attention grabbing. So that is there. And then his eyes. Uski kya tarif karu kya uski? Again, to everyone listening over here, Ruchi will be back. This is a request that we have for her, is that please be back for further episodes and Arnav's concentrated episodes, considering your love. I think I'd love to be the judge with these two lawyers, Ritz on one side and Ruchi on the other, R versus R, when it comes to ASR. So I'm like, hi, what a point. You have to clap, please clap. Yes, I would definitely love to be the judge in that. But yeah, to all of us over here, Ruchi is also a very, very close friend with Rids, and they've been friends for a long time. As you know, Rids is the current Johar of the IPK forum. In that sense, what I mean is that she knows everyone. She knows all the brilliant writers. She knows all the people. Then is Ruchi like Kareena Kapoor, that she knows also everyone? I'm sitting with like celebrities, yeah.
Oh my god.
Yes, you have to edit that. You cannot have Kareena Kapoor. You just can't.
But yeah, given that they have such a long-standing friendship, Ruchi, Ritz, how did you guys first meet?
On, almost said Shadi Mubarak. I don't even know where that comes from. I have no reference for this. On Juhi's Expelliarmus, she wrote a story called Shadi, and there used to be a chat club where we talked about it. And I met Richie, Jigs, Shruti Desi, like a lot of people. It had a lot of writers in that group as well. So that's how we met and got talking about the story and the discussions. And Yuhi was quite well known for her cliffhangers. So there was a lot of like guessing what's going to happen in the next chapter. And that's how we met and became friends.
Yeah, it was an amazing bunch of people, and it was a great thread, and it was just such fun to be with. And like I said, at times it often felt like a page three of fan fiction writers, because you had all the best writers of the day, you know, there reading Shadi and commenting and just having fun. It was quite an experience. I ended up making some amazing friends on that thread, who are still friends today. So
yeah, I think I had like a good storyline, great cast and all of that. But the other side of the magic that I firmly believe it has is I made friends that have lasted for a decade at this point. Like I have friend groups now that are like, you know, outside of IPK, because we've moved away from the fandom for a bit, but that remained like just good friends in general in life. And yeah, it's something that I don't know if I will ever be able to recreate with anything else.
No, it was a moment out of time. I think it was just special.
I think that's what also kept IPK alive for the longest time, because I've seen other forums and I've complete respect to all the writers, but I'm just saying there's something different with the quality of written work that came out that IPK inspired in a lot of people, which is a hint to Rids, how much more should we inspire, interact for some of the stories to be completed. I can interact every single day for that.
I only have one story that's incomplete, excuse me. What rewriting of history is happening here?
Me, I'm just asking. Aise pooch rahi hu.
Okay, I will publicly commit to this so that I can kick my own ass into gear. I have 4 more chapters of ITM to write. I have written some that I have not posted. If I can finish that in the next month, let's say, I might start posting it again. Happy?
Very. Thank you. Moving on. Today's track is going to be about the Nainital track. So we're going to be covering from the point, from the very point where Khushi, she like, you know, she pumps out petrol from Arnav's car to successfully pull out the plan of Arnav getting stuck in the middle of the road, except she becomes an unintended visitor as well. And she's also stuck with Arnav in literally in the middle of the jungle. And we also have, on the other hand, we have Shashi stumbling upon Shyam's truth. And then the whole thing that happens in Nainital, a very good twist from what the Kayamat Se Kayamat Tak happened. It's less of jungle mein romance, it's more like jungle mein comedy. And then at the end, we will wrap up by just talking about our point of focus will be on Shashi, a very underrated and misused character in the show, someone who had the possibility of the best tracks. And we'll also talk about Arnav's feelings and everything, and basically Babwa saving the day, and how this track kind of highlighted that who's the hero and who's truly the villain. And also a little bit of love to our gorgeous Akash Empire. Just quickly hopping into all the technical things that I loved about this entire track. Can I just say that they did such a good job of making the whole jungle very aesthetically pleasing. Shooting outdoor, it's kind of difficult because it's difficult to control light. But anyways, like daylight is one of the best lights in general. Like you get people's feature the best during daylight. But it's really difficult to control elements when you're outdoor as opposed to in an indoor shoot. So they make the jungle very aesthetically pleasing. Like, you know, the rays of light, the little bit of smoke that adds just an aura, that romantic aura that flows in so well. So great props to the whole production team. Then I absolutely loved the close-ups that they shot. Arnav at Khushi's close-ups. One of my personal favorite close-up is when Arnav pulls Khushi out of that little hole thingy that she fell into. And then she just, like, you know, she lands on him. And then there's this very intimate close-up of her breaking away from that, I don't know, hug. And they're like, you know, their faces are so close. And the focus is just, the focus is slightly off. So everything looks a bit rosy, a bit unfocused, a bit hazy. And you can, and they're both just looking intently at each other. You know, we look at a scene and we understand it's romantic because of this, you know, the slight lack of focus, like it's not too sharp and they're so intimate. Like the full screen is filled with both just like 80% of their faces just looking at each other. So great, great close-ups. From the costume side, amazing orange lehenga. I don't know what happened to the costume department. They give Khushi the best Indian outfits, except on the day of her wedding. Why? Like, I didn't mind what she wore on her wedding, but do you see this orange lehenga over there? Such detailed work. Beautiful. It fits Khushi lovely, and that's a difficult outfit to carry. Just saying, Sanaya is beautiful, and that is a difficult outfit to carry, but she looks absolutely stunning in that lehenga that she wore. And this shot when Khushi wears her dupatta and she just like, Arnav, we can always see when Arnav falls for Khushi because the way the camera captures Khushi, that whole slow motion, I love it that the editing team never went overboard with slow motion or with effects or with close zooms, flash edits, which God knows what they drank while editing IPK3, but literally over here, the beauty of things, the beauty of things is when Khushi wears that stunning outfit, you have a slightly, like the frame rate is slow, it's slowed down a little bit. So, you know, the time is not running the way it does in real time. There's a slight slow motion and the close-up that Khushi, like, you know, she wears her dupatta and Arnav, like, stops. And the light, it's filtered between the trees so beautifully, like, making sure they have that perfect scene. They have that perfect shot. It is aesthetically so pleasing that I don't have enough words, even after talking so much. Khushi's makeup, by the way, also another thing. Khushi's makeup was absolutely stunning. Because Sanaya is so beautiful, the lesser her makeup is, the more her beauty shines. And this is one of those scenes where her makeup was pitch perfect. And to the writing team, props to the writing team because they had amazing dialogue written. Like their dialogue was so to the point, to quote one. Oof, brilliant writing.
Few zingers in this episode too when she falls into the pit and Arna's like, why didn't you get out? And she's like, if I could get out, would I be in here? Would be common sense opinion. We're just like, I love when she like uses his own words against him, especially in certain cases where, you know, she's like, especially here, she's like, she's not normally probably used to using these, but she's like, you told me this, now I'm going to use it against you.
And even that entire part when he was talking with the Bluetooth with Aman and that confusion, that was superbly done. I mean, they were just exceptional in that, you know, in that shot. They were just amazing. And in fact, they then, if you remember, they then have it again with Buaji and Arnav at Lakshmi Nagar. You know, when he points and then she goes, Sir. But you wanna a hearing problem. It's like,
I mean, like aunt, like niece, clearly. I wish like we had like Arnav remembering this moment then, and he's like, of course, because she's pagal, her entire family is pagal.
That would have been so cute. And even the part, you know, when he tells her to get in the car and she starts going back to the boot because she's not thinking. And she just automatically heads towards the boot, takes out a pin all ready to open the boot. And he's like, where are you going?
One more favorite. When Manjeet, I guess. I'm just going to call her Manjeet because it's Manjeet. Good, whatever. When she's like, oh, you can't even hold your, like, you're not even strong enough to hold your own bride up. The look of offense on his face cracks me up every time.
Lassi pilo, dole shole banalo.
That was such a good quip because Arnav's part-time job is carrying Khushi, right? And Khushi's just like, ha! She's just laughing. I just love it because Arnav is like, ha, I'll be mean. Here, fall on the ground. And he thinks he could offend Khushi before Manjeet is like, dude, you're such a weakling. Like, have some lassi. And oof, karma works so quickly in this episode. Can I just say the comedy was so good over here. The comedy was brilliant. Like, Arnav trying to guess behind which tree Khushi is. And Khushi comes out of her hiding spot saying that hum us peer ke nahi, is peer ke peeche chupe hai. Like, Arnav is for a second stunned because I just always feel Arnav does not know whether to laugh or just be like, what is this woman made out of? He has this moment of like, serious Khushi? Are you serious? I can clearly understand why Arnav fell for Khushi because in these episodes, she's adorable but not stupid. Like, she's not, like, anything silly she does is coming from a genuine, like, an innocent place, and you're just like, oh, she's being a cutie pie. Also, the direction is really good, and by direction, I don't know how much of it is Barun Sanaya's personal equation and them just reciprocating to good acting and how much of it is the director stepping in and giving them cues. But one thing that I love overall in IPK and especially in this episode is they exactly know when to make eye contact. Arnav and Khushi, like, it's very carefully directed that they never have random eye contact happening. That does not happen at any point in the show. They use their eye contacts very carefully. Like, over here, especially in the Bluetooth scene, Khushi's looking down. She only looks up at Arnav when he, like, you know, he pushes a strand of hair back to fix the Bluetooth piece. And Arnav is not looking at Khushi until unless he realizes he's being looked at. And then he just looks at her for a second, and all of that might mean nothing, but it is such a powerful tool when you're actually trying to understand that their eye contacts are the only thing that's actually pushing this romance ahead. Nothing else. Arnav and Khushi say nothing else when it comes to being attracted to each other, and their eye contacts are always used as the most powerful form of communication. So I really love, like, Arnav not looking at Khushi or even her eyes when he's giving her the dupatta until and unless she's done wearing it. And I'm like, yes, I love you, Arnav. Small things, but it matters a lot. Like, I can clearly write that Khushi would be extremely unnerved if Arnav just continued looking at her eyes when her dupatta fell off, but he does not do that. The only other time he looks at her eyes is after she's done with it. So, yeah. Other points that you guys loved about this episode?
I think this is a continuation of a couple of things. A deeper meaning, I think. Like, this is one episode where you can kind of see that Khushi is, like, Arnav is so serious as a character, even when they're, like, he jokes around with Anjali, but there's always this, like, aura of seriousness around him. You can see the silliness Khushi brings to his life. A major part of, like, why he would be attracted to her, I think, is that she's the most unexpected person in his life. She never does anything that he would, like, you know, consider or in his wildest dreams would happen. I love, this is very small, but I always love the scene where, like, you know, she goes to, like, the restroom or whatever, and the girl steals her clothes. For a second, he believes Khushi ran away with that guy. Like, he's just like, where are you going? Before he realizes it's someone else. I'm just like, I feel like he has learned not to put anything past Khushi.
It's like he says, ye sirf tumhare saath ho sakta hai. It's like, and that sense of acceptance in his voice, that, you know, this is going to happen with you, and, you know, I'm accepting it because this is it. This is always going to happen with you.
Yeah. What else did we like?
There's a line that Auntie Chi says, which then Arnav uses many, many episodes later.
Oye puttar, kyun sharma rahi hai? Hak banta hai tera, pati hai tera.
It's okay. बीवी हो तुम मेरी, हक क्या तुम्हारा मुझ पे?
So yeah, I thought that was quite sweet. Probably unintentional on the part of the writers, but we notice these things.
Yeah, I think the writers might have changed in the middle, but we stuck around, so we can pull these parallels. I feel like there's a lot of like good, like this was comedy done right. If you compare this to like something like the Swami track, you know, like there's clearly a distinction in the way they use comedy to further the plot of the story, and I just really enjoy the moments that they picked here too. Just the whole like the couple thinking these two are married, and Kushi's whole story about how they got married, and Arnav slowly losing his mind while she goes on. It's just very, very well done. And I think in a way, like for Burn, this character is like, I don't know. I did not watch all of his interviews. I have for other experts in this show who might be able to speak to it. But I really, I think it quite helped him, the fact that this is a role where he cannot speak a lot. Like whatever he does, he needs to express through his face and eyes, not even like a lot of like body movement or anything. And he does it very beautifully, but it's also just like, I feel like he probably grew as an actor because of that during the duration of the show, because it's very subtle things that he has to do, even in this episode. Like I love the little smirk he has. One of my favorite like pictures from the show is that moment where the plan starts forming in his head of like how to get back at Kushi, and you see this like tiny smirk on his face while she's dancing, and you're just like, oh no, this is not gonna end well for Kushi. Like moments like that, I just really enjoy their acting.
And like coming to comedy, like just little things, one of probably my favorite scenes is Kushi directing Arnav to push the car a little left, a little right, and then she does not even realize that the car is not moving, and she's like, thoda aur, thoda bhai, thoda dai, and Arnav is just literally standing in front of her at one point, and she's like, oh, and Kushi's firm belief that she's stronger than Arnav, because he has diabetes, and she loves sweets, like her belief, and that too, like, it's not that she's teasing him, she just believes it. And I could not stop laughing when she thinks that she's pushing the car, but Arnav is just quietly standing, watching her push at nothing and just taking Devi Maya's name. It is hilarious, but you know, it really works because one, Arnav says nothing and he just looks at the car and the whole surrounding, and he's looking at her and he's like, what is this woman? And Kushi believes that she has done a great job. She believes. It's her complete belief that makes this scene comical. And even like little things where Kushi thinks that because of pakoras, people will give her lift. Free pakoras, so she'll get lifts. It is, it's well done. And it's very well spaced with the rabbaways that happen. Like every rabbaway that happens in between these comedy scenes, they happen very well. And it's very, how do I say it, very harmonious. At no point do you feel that they forced a romantic scene.
It feels very organic.
Yes, thank you. Absolutely. Also, a little foreshadowing that they're going to run away. I don't know if the writers thought that they're going to elope or something, but as Rith said, that we see these things. As you brought out that parallel with Manjeet's dialogue and Arnav's dialogue, it's like Arnav and Kushi running away. Except probably they should have ran away to Nainital. Like the family over there, that couple was so much more accepting than both of their families combined.
I'm surprised they did not. Not that the second wedding goes how they envision it, but they should have invited this couple to their wedding. Clearly one of the biggest shippers in the show. Other points, like, well, I guess, like, the Arnav Kushi stuff that there's a moment where, like, you see Arnav can be smart in his threats of, like, when he's, like, if you don't talk for 5 minutes or I'll cut your salary by half. And it's so hard. Like, I just really enjoy this, these series of scenes, because to a certain extent, until you get to a point, there's a lot of bickering, but it doesn't, like, I like it. Like, neither of the characters rubs me the wrong way. Shree took a stab at this, but, like, if a rom-com version of IPK existed, like a pure rom-com, I think this is what it would be like, an extended version of this, and I just really enjoy the idea of that.
Basically watching Ismail Vaghamzeh on loop.
That person did so much more for IPK than Star Plus ever did. I would write it down on a paper. Like, regardless of who I talk to, they're like, I found this show because that scene showed up on YouTube. Can't believe they took the scenes down.
Yeah, no, I think just the dialogues and everything was so great because it just went to Khushi, like, saying sewer in the middle of nothing and Arnav totally believing it that she directed it to him. Like, he's like, I'm deserving of this, but excuse me, did he just call me that? Like, at no point did I just burst laughing that Arnav did not think that Khushi called something else sewer. He just totally thought that it was directed at him. So he turned back and he's like, excuse me? And I'm like, wow, dude does not even hesitate to think that it was not directed at him. So I think all of that was, even like the number of questions that Khushi asks, they're not all dumb questions. They're just like cute, small talk. And what I love is that she does not stop after one question. She does not wait for him to reply. She kind of knows he won't reply. So she just keeps on like throwing another question one after the other, like, is this a mango tree? Oh, wait, now mangoes can't happen. Is this this? Is this that? And I'm just like, good. Like, how do I say? The writers do a good job of not making anyone too stupid or too brash. Like, it's what Ribs was saying. It's a very healthy bickering that's going on. Like, it's a clash of personalities, but you completely understand both the characters. Like, you can understand why Arnav is like, please leave me alone. And you can also understand why Khushi's going, yap, yap, yap.
Yeah, the one thing, like, again, hate Arnav's beginning to the scene, but I do, like, the one thing that they did get right is the fact that they clearly show him regretting his actions past a certain, like, you know, he's like, to me, sometimes it seems a too little too late, not yet now, but eventually, like, once you build enough of these scenes up, I'm like, okay, what are, like, you keep doing this every time, what are you learning from, like, any of this? But this was still in the stages where I was like, okay, he is clearly capable of being critical of himself, at least he has that self-awareness, and I think he says, like, he doesn't say it to her because she's unconscious, but I think he say sorry or something in this scene. So there's I forget chronologically, is this is before the sorry scene, like, actually happens? No, after. Well, got that wrong. Well, then it shows growth. I could have gone either way, but then it shows growth that he's learning from what he did before. He can now say sorry. Woo. But yeah, that scene was like, well, the arc was good.
Yeah, he did not say sorry because Khushi needed to listen. He felt that he needed to apologize regardless. Like, I think that was a good thing that he felt the need for apology. I think they balanced the serious aspects of this as well. Like, he remembers that the driving fast, like, you know, speed frightens because she has a phobia of like high speed vehicles. He remembers that, like, you know, I really love it that in conversation he breaks into that, I won't drop you in the middle of the road. And they flash back to the moment that he actually did and he does not know what to say. So these are small things. Like, I like that they added gravity where it was necessary.
And also when, you know, when he wakes up and he says Khushi, so he didn't, I think in himself, he didn't actually expect her to go away. You know, after shouting at her in the night that, you know, go away, etc., etc. I don't think he actually did. So in the morning when he didn't first see her, he was, oh my God, she didn't take me seriously, did she? You know, that kind of feeling. And yeah, he did apologize to her. But of course, all his best conversations with Khushi are when she's asleep. So, you know, that set the tone.
Forever. Like, I really this is the thing that Arnav's character has that I think Krishi's character arc lacks, is you do see, maybe it doesn't like stick quite as quickly as you would wish, but for Arnav, they do show character growth. Like, you know, he does something and then he reflects on it and there is some change in his behavior eventually. That part of the character arc isn't as consistent with Krishi, because they kind of try to show her as the perfect lead to a certain extent, which they didn't try with. I really enjoy the way that they wrote his character arc.
No, it's absolutely, I think one of the rubber ways that's very beautiful is when Krishi, like, you know, he's tending to Krishi, and in all sincerity, like, what I really like is that when he's tending to Krishi, that point he's not rubbering with her, he's just like, you know, getting her fever down, making sure she's drinking milk, she's having her medicine. He starts rubbering with her when it's all quiet and Krishi's like sleeping, like her fever is a bit down, she's sleeping, and she, like, you know, she unintentionally grips, like, his hand is under her cheek, and that's when he just looks at her, and first he feels guilty and he apologizes to her, but then slowly and gradually he starts getting a hint that something is being reciprocated, but he does not know what. Like, he goes back to the time when he realized that Krishi was hurt by, like, you know, by patching up Lavanya and Arnav. Like, he remembers the point, like, that confused him, that made him think that, like, he's gaining some clarity on what Krishi might feel for him in that little moment. And so he flashes, like, you know, he flashes to these very particular memories where at that point he did not understand what or how Krishi was behaving. But then he looks at her with such aching tenderness that my heart just melted. I was like, oof, that is absolutely very sweet. And I really like it that his tenderness continues. Like, even when Kushi's up and ready to leave and he, like, changed his clothes, he's like, Krishi, are you fine? Our car is coming. Is everything all right? And he continues with this, which I think is very sweet, until the gundas drop in. Again, I love gundas in general in IPK. I think they do a lot of work getting our main couple together than our main couple themselves. I don't know who these random dudes were, but it was nice. I kind of predicted that Arda will have this moment of resistance, and then he goes and he bashes up the goons. Filmy things I love. This whole track had a lot of filmy things that I absolutely love. I will not question how Krishi ends up in the trunk. It's adorable that she does. And that's it. It's like, I will take this with a heavy pinch of salt. And even with these random gundas, I will kind of believe them too. And also, that's like very well written into the plot. Like, they don't appear out of anywhere. We get a sense from the day before that there has been a couple who's running around and there's been, like, you know, some talk going on about it. But yeah, anything else you guys have to add that you loved about Arnav and Krishi in this whole scene before we hop into the other side characters? All right. Okay, I sometimes feel I'm just going to... the next thing that I absolutely love, I loved all the Akash and Paya scenes. Oh, those two lovebirds. This is the first time they're having a proper conversation, by the way. A conversation that's beyond two lines. And I absolutely love them, because this is the first time when I can actually see them as a couple and I can see the feeling and emotion being reciprocated. Like, up until now, I had doubts of them feeling anything for each other apart from, like, you know, oh, this is a nice man. Oh, this is a wonderful woman. And we're feeling feelings. Like, I love how Akash rationalizes. He's like, oh no, wait, this is Kushi's area, so Paya must be here. Oh wait, no, that does not happen. And it happens, and he's like, oh, hi, Paya. And the reason why I could start rooting for them genuinely as a couple is that Akash immediately understood that Paya would not take money outright to cover the cost of, like, you know, of the potatoes and everything. So he ends up shopping for groceries, and then he hands her the bag of potatoes when, like, you know, they come home. And Payal immediately, like, you know, she reciprocates by, like, why don't you wait for, like, you know, have a cup of tea with us. And it's so sweet, because when Akash realizes that no one is at home, he's like, no, I won't enter your home, because when no one is there, like, he kind of adheres to the traditional mindset. Like, there's a lot of respect over here. He's not, and he knows very well, like, it's not right to enter a woman's house when there's no one else around. Like, it's just these small things, and I could see these people constantly respecting each other and actually having a conversation that they both, that he, Khushi, they all love potatoes. It was very cute.
Yeah, I think the one thing that was missing from the show is Akash realizing how, or Akash and Arnav having a conversation about the Gupta house visits. Just the wild difference in how they both act and how they're treated by the faculty. I just always love the fact that, you know, Akash is very prim and proper and he doesn't go in when the family's not there. The poor guy just wants to wish his fiance happy new year, and ends up getting stuck in the most awkward, you know, spots and getting beat up by Buaji, compared to like Arnav, who just barges in whenever he wants. The wildly different way luck these two have when it comes to that house.
Akash had protested at this as well, because at Arnav and Khushi's mehndi, you know, he and said, everybody loves Bhai. And I'm like, oh, yes, they do.
I sometimes feel the Gupta house could be like a haunted spirit, like, because Akash genuinely is wanting to visit his fiance, ends up getting beaten up. And Arnav has no random idea. He like jumps in, and next thing he's in bed with Khushi. Not in the way he imagined, but he ends up being on.
And Boaji's blessing him.
Don't vilify Arnav. He never imagined himself in bed with Khushi at that point.
I think you're giving Arnav too much benefit here.
Yes.
I'm just saying, out of all the ways that Arnav could have thought of being in bed with Khushi, I'm not saying there are vivid imaginations, clearly pretending to be her sister is not one of them.
That he might not have imagined in his wildest dreams or nightmares.
Yes. So, we have that. So, Akash and Payal were very strong. They were very well... you understand their relationship is a foil to Arnav and Khushi's. There's a very open admittance of both being like, I'm attracted to you, without saying much. They both know that there's a soft spot that they hold for the other person. Like, somehow Akash and Pai also, without having a lot of conversations, they reach to a similar state of mind on what they feel for the other person, which is not in the case of Arnav and Khushi. Like, they're both having storms in their mind, and they're perhaps one of the things that is there in the show is that Arnav and Khushi are not really sure what the other person feels for them, which is what Shyam takes advantage of later. But in Akash and Payal's thing, they also don't communicate much, but they're pretty strong about how they kind of feel for each other. Maybe not about the depth, but Payal knows that Akash likes her to a certain degree, and Akash is also aware of that, and he also knows that Payal likes him to a certain degree, which is what, like, you know, I always feel that if someone came up to Akash, or if Akash witnessed such a scene, he would take two steps back and be like, no, I know what Payal feels for me. Like, there's more reassurance in what kind of emotions they feel for each other. It's, again, very subtle, very, like, read between 5,000 lines, but there's a lot more strength in that relationship from that perspective. And also, can I say, I absolutely loved Shyam. That dude, oh my God. I will say something over here that Rit said a long time ago. One of the reasons why Shyam truly surprises and frightens us in this episode is because we had no idea that he could descend into this level of madness. We know he's cheating on his wife. We know he holds other sort of affections and is trying to get his way into, I don't know, a relationship with another woman despite being married. But we had no idea that he's capable of murdering a human being without a drop of consciousness. Like, he has no conscience. And we realize that here, and I was terrified.
Again, the thing that works here for Shyam is the fact that you don't know what he's capable of until he does it. In each of the instances up until this point, like, when you discover that he is already married. That, I mean, I think people could see it coming, but not to the extent like you do. When you see the relationship that he has with Anjali, that like whole Havan scene where he's promising her to be her like support and whatever, whatever, you're like, for a minute, you're like, it kind of feels like you actually, like, I can see why Anjali was fooled, because you as an audience is almost fooled into thinking he cares for Anjali in that scene. But there's a, you know, there's many layers of fucked up difference between cheating on someone and being capable of murder. And you don't quite think until this episode that he's capable of the latter. But the moment where he, like, you know, it's just like, if the family did not arrive, 100% he would have let Shashi die. So it just, like, I think kind of like comes as a shock to your system to see the extent of his psychopathy. And yeah, it was very well done because you could not see the hints of it coming. Like, there wasn't like a long monologue about like, oh, if anyone ever discovered me, I would plan their murder, which in the later episode, Sham tends to do quite a bit. See, his plans work out when he does not speak about them. But yeah, really, really well shot, well written episodes for him.
That's true. I mean, this was when we discovered the extent of his obsessive behavior and the extent that he can go to get Khushi. I mean, she becomes more than just someone he lusts after. You know, she gets more like an obsession, a junoon. You know, it's like when they say, jab ishq junoon ban jata hai. You know, so that kind of...
Absolutely. Also, another technical thing that I completely forgot is, I love how Arnav mindlessly beating the goons is edited with Sham, like, intentionally murdering Shashi. I love how these two things happen side by side. Like, it's such good parallels. Like, it is such good parallels, and it highlights the difference between Arnav and Sham, like anything. First of all, like, Khushi and Shashi are so connected that when Khushi's in danger, Shashi's in danger. Like, my heart just goes out for that scene. That both, like, you know, the father and daughter, the pair, they are in danger. And I love it how we truly see who's the hero and villain in this. Like, we have not seen a scene before this that actually highlights that this is the villain of the show and this is the hero of the show. And I feel these two scenes edited right against each other draws that parallel for us. Like, Arnav does not resort to violence until and unless he absolutely needs to, which is when they physically hurt Khushi. Like, he tries to rationalize with them. He tries to rationalize as much as he can. But when he sees that they're not, like, you know, hesitating to beat up Khushi, he's like, okay, fine, you guys are lost. But Sham is calculatively working in his head as to how can this threat be stopped. Like, he also tries to speak with Shashi, but when he sees Shashi is determined, you know that he's slowly and gradually thinking on how to use this. And I love it that even when Arnav beats up in his rage, a part of him is not completely aware of how angry he is until Khushi stops him. And the minute Khushi stops him, Arnav cools down and he also realizes that he overacted. But in Sham's case, it is not being done in a mad, in this mad haze of making sure his secret is not out. No, he is purposely, like, you know, all his violence is coming all from a sense of purpose. It's not, he's not over, like, you know, he's not swayed by any emotion. He wants Shashi to die, and he's listing out his plan to Shashi that what he intends to do with Khushi. And now that he knows the truth, he must die. And such brilliant acting from Abhas. Oof, that man owned that scene, and I was so scared as to what would happen. It is very great, like, amazing direction, amazing editing, and the way these whole scenes were shot, absolutely fantastic. I think it just gives us even more impact. And after that scene, I was totally sure that Arnav is our hero, because when Shyam is threatening, one of the things I loved is that when Shyam is threatening Shashi and telling him that, oh, I will destroy your daughter's life because I will marry her, your daughter, like, no one, because she's mine and no one can save her from me, and like everything on these lines, we have Arnav on the other end actually saving Khushi and actually being her hero, quote unquote hero. And the fact that Shyam's every line is being disproved by Arnav on the other end, I think is stunning. It's great writing, it's great directing, it's great plot. Everything is fantastic.
Okay. Important note, we lost some of the footage about dislikes, but to be honest, this was one of the most perfectly done tracks, so I don't think we had much that we were missing. Except two things. One, Mami was too much to bear. I personally dislike how they normalized pretty terrible behavior from her. And second, Arnav's behavior with Khushi when he commented on her wedding night, along with leaving her in darkness and physically intimidating her, was harassment. And it's kind of the few times where I was afraid of what limits Arnav might cross in anger. I mean, although his anger was justifiable, the amount of rage he had, like, picking her up on his shoulders, commenting on a Suhagrat, cornering her on the sofa, it was, I would say, uncomfortable to watch. That did cross a few lines. It kind of did. And Mami's treatment was, I think, completely unwatchable. And I think the point is, they never kind of dealt with it. They never kind of dealt with the amount of violence Payal received from Mami's end. Those verbal abuses, those count as domestic harassment. Like, you know, when she gets, especially when she gets married to the family. But yeah, and that's all. Now back to point of focus.
The point of focus is this one amazing character who does not get the footage he so rightfully deserves, and that is Shashi Gupta. Oh my God, hands down my favorite character. Ruchi, please start with your thoughts.
You're right. He's an absolutely amazing character. I mean, the relationship that he shares with his daughters, the faith he has in them. There was that instance where, you know, when Khushi rings him to tell, you know, to tell him where she is, et cetera, et cetera. And he's like, fine, you look after yourself and let me know what's happening. And he was perfectly okay. And Shyam turns around and says that, you know, how can you be so okay with your daughter being with a stranger, you know, in this position, etc. And he turns around and tells him that because I know my daughter, I believe in her, I have faith in her, and I have faith in my parvarish, which is something that he has demonstrated right from the first episode. Because even when she, you know, in the beginning when Khushi had run away with the papers, I mean, not run away, she'd gone, you know, to speak to that Abhishek with the papers. The Garima was, you know, panicking and going all over the place. And of course, Buaji was on her own trip. But he's the one, you know, who was, who believed in his daughter, and he still stood up for her. And, you know, he protected her. It's just wonderful to see. And every time, I mean, Khushi's reaction, every time something happened to her father, was just painful to watch.
Again, a character who's white is felt very deeply post this episode. I think after this, Khushi doesn't truly have a champion in her life. NK is that to a certain extent much later on, but I think Shashi is one person in her life who she could always trust, who she could always go to, who truly understood her. I mean, there's the whole like love story with Arnav, blah, 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 whatever. Like, there's characters in her life who are, you know, who she loves, but Shashi was a character who, that one person in your life who you know will have your back regardless of what happens. And there's like subtle moments you see it in, like when, you know, they get married, when Khushi and Arnav get married the first time, Shashi's the only one to, within the limit of what he could do, tries to reassure her. he's someone who doesn't jump to conclusions, who doesn't like let, you know, emotions or like bias about situations influence him. Is very level-headed when it comes to his daughters and tries to always see the best in them. And I hate the fact that we could never get him back. Actually, he's the character who I think was done the most injustice, because it's never even like proven that, you know, Shyam was the reason he ended up this way. And he doesn't quite recover either fully. So yeah, a character we miss for the rest of the show.
Absolutely. Like, in my eyes, if you had to say if there's one character, if there's one plot line that like IPK completely missed out on, then it was Shashi. I cannot imagine how they did not use Shashi, because he was the guy who knew the whole truth about Shyam, who was paralyzed and, like, you know, due to ill treatment by, like, you know, Shyam gave the wrong medicine and everything. Like, Shashi's health worsened. So I could clearly see, you know, you all could clearly see at one point during the marriage track, like, the writers did not know how to progress further with it. They did not know how to deal with things. So I cannot understand why they did not use Shashi, because the actor was there. He was there for completely like irrelevant episodes. And he was someone who never trusted in Shyam. So I could never see why they did not utilize the person who could actually tell Arnav the truth. Like, if we ever wanted a scene where Arnav gets to know the truth, Shashi was that person. I feel when Shashi gets paralyzed from here on, Khushi truly loses her family, because it is Shashi. Even now, he's the only person, when he sees his wife and his sister, mainly his sister, plotting Khushi's engagement with someone, he's like, you did this without asking me. What part of you makes, like, how could you do this? Like, you understand, he's like a blanket figure that you cannot see, but he's is protecting Khushi from anything her family might want to do. His say is the last word. And when Shashi goes into this attack, from now on, you kind of feel that that shade of protection has completely left Khushi's life forever. Like, she's even more exposed and vulnerable, and the worst happens to her at the drop of a hat, without anyone coming to hug her or comfort her or look after her. So this vacancy that's there with Shashi Gupta, such a useful character. Like, plot-wise, there was so much of potential. This actor was brilliant. And Shashi was, like, okay, Akash and Payal are also extremely, like, misused in the show. But I feel always that Shashi was the one character that they could have used to change the direction of the whole plot, because he's someone who held the key to all of the truths. So him... this thing, the fact that there is no closing the loop for this event that happens, is what bugs me the most, because this was such an important twist in the show. Like, from here we know that Shyam is a villain that requires all the forces in the world to be defeated, and that no one recognizes what Shashi sacrificed for Khushi. And this is the one thing that the show need not be realistic about. That no one would, like, no one recovers from paralysis like that. That's true. But I'm like, you had random shit going on. This is the one thing where we could have accepted any randomness. I would have been okay if Shashi fell off the wheelchair and, I don't know, suddenly became okay overnight. I'm ready for that. I'm ready. Because I think Shashi's also the one person who could have taken down Arnav single-handedly at one point. Like, you know, I just felt there was one character that Arnav could, or that Arnav always hesitate to misspeak with, was Shashi.
No, I was just going to say, you can kind of see that he's ashamed of himself the first time they go to Gupta house after marriage. He can't quite meet Shashi's eyes when they initially, like, go there. I don't think he has quite, because, again, you know, the way that he knows that Khushi was very well treated by Shashi compared to, like, Garma and Buaji. The relationship that they share with Khushi is kind of different than how Shashi used to treat her. So, yeah.
he was also a very non-judgmental character. So I think that was one of his very strong points, which I think allowed Khushi to be herself because, you know, she knew that he wouldn't look at her with any bias. You know, there was, that's why they had that honesty. And I think one of the nicest scenes they had was when Shashi and Garima came to Delhi. And that first night, Shashi had a conversation with Khushi as they were standing by the window. And he's looking quite disturbed. And he says that, I feel terrible that I'm sitting here useless. And you're the one going out and working to provide for us when it should be my responsibility. And you know, the feeling in his voice when he says that, you know, it's like, you know, that defeat that he has provided for his family all his life. And then there's come this point where he's not able to do it and the pain that he feels. And coming back to the judgmental thing, it's even when Dadi is, you know, doing all her accusations and stuff like that, and Garima rushes to, rushes to Shashi, and he already knows the past, so he knows, he believes in her, and he has faith in her, and that gives her strength. So, you know, it's not just with his daughters, it's, you know, even with her, because, you know, clearly when he married her, he knew of her past. So, you know, that says a lot about a person's character.
Yes, no. So in general, I think completely agree with what both of you said. Shashi was a very key character that was not used. It was kind of like a plot point in front of you that was never used. And I'll forever have regrets about that, but I completely love Shashi being the fandom's voice, being the one person to suspect everything that Shyam is doing, because Shyam was terrible at covering his tracks. Like, he is one person who, like, sweet talked everyone, but Shashi did not buy into it. So he was literally the fandom's voice by double questioning everything Shyam did, confronting his family as to why they're so eager to ship Khushi and Shyam together, and confronting Shyam when he came to know the truth. Like, he actually did everything then and there, and it's very sad that he ended up paralyzed, and then there was like no closing to that. But I think we can all say that Shashi is our eternal favorite, and if there's anything that has always inspired me to write more fan fictions about it, then it's Shashi, even though I've never written anything. That's the one character that I'm always like, yes, this guy needed the most closure than anyone else in the show. And I think that pretty much wraps up today's episode. Once again, thank you so much, Ruchi, for giving us your time. How did you feel about it? Your thoughts?
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure chatting with both of you. I was understandably nervous before, and you have both done a lot to allay that nervousness very nicely. Thank you.
So what I'm hearing is that we will record another episode with Ruchi in the future because she's now a pro at this. That is what I heard.
Really? Unbelievable. Yes.
I'm reading in between the lines. I'm reading paragraphs that exist in between the lines.
Yeah, you're always welcome, and I have a feeling that I yapped way too much and you did not say much at all. For that I feel sorry, but really, we really love having you here. Thank you so much. You have such a gentle presence. Guys, you have to write down in the comments below that you absolutely loved her in this podcast. This is my wish, request and command.
Ruchi has more fans than either of us, so it will be. Don't you do whatever you're doing with your hands, okay? You're much more well-known in the fandom than either of us. And for good reason, you interact with everyone and you're a very nice, kind presence in most of, like, you know, ITK corners that exist, unlike me, who just...
Yeah, and it's after this, you see lots of people's visions being shattered.
Why? So, yeah. No, you were very... I mean, you just reestablished the fact that you're an Arna fan.
And of that, there's absolutely no doubt.
Exactly.
There's guy's eyes are to die for.
See?
His, like, profile, his eyes, his everything. Why do you think IPK works? Why do you think the eye locks work?
It's great eyes.
Because of his different eyes.
Yes, I need us to edit in like Arnav's, like, you know, eyes with like a tiny sparkle in them. Yeah. This part of the video, but
oh, don't worry, I'm a fan. Did you forget my falling off my chair incident happened because of Arnav's eyes? Usne palat mara, main gir gayi.
I am the odd person. I should be the one who exits this chat.
Listen, that man is extremely handsome.
Sure.
Very evocative.
During Diwali.
During Diwali, no, everywhere, okay? Everywhere in general, okay?
I mean, he had his moments.
He owned most of the moments.
Absolutely. Yes, you've got that right.
I will not say anything.
Something makes me feel that when we'll have a character analysis episodes, Ruchi Ji is invited.
Booked.
And forced.
Forced.
To be part. I'm following Arnav's tradition, okay? He asks and then he demands to be a part of the Arnav analysis episode, because I think that would be a great balance to Ridz's Isko Abhi Jail Bhejo mode. So, yes.
Oh yes, I can fight him for everyone.
Look forward to the fight. We don't know when we're recording this, but it'll be happening. See, I have great memory, so I'm getting. She just said she's going to fight me on Arnav's character, so she's already committed to this episode.
Yes, absolutely.
That's how things work around here.
But once again, thank you, Ruchi, for your time. We were, as you can understand, we were extremely excited that you're here. Loved your points. You're so well thought out. I cannot wait to be in another episode with you. And by I mean we. Hum intezaar nahi kar sakte to be in another episode. So yeah, and with that, that is an end to this podcast episode. Guys, please leave your likes, comments. Don't forget to share and subscribe. And next episode, we are going to be seeing their famous hug that, I don't know, shattered screens across India, because that was so damn good.
So ruined our no shirt.
What? Ruined our no shirt? That's why I call her Arnav.
Sorry! Yes.
That's why I call her Arnav. I was in a flow talking about the romance of the hug, and she's like, her kajal and tears, like, destroyed his shirt. Like,
these were the single tears that were still wet hours after she cried.
The law of nature don't work. Evaporation and all of that don't work in IPK, okay?
Okay, all right.
Absolutely. And remember, he said, tumhara ek ek aansu mere dil pe
chot pahunchati hai. Yes.
He must have had his heart broken into many pieces then, because he made her cry a lot.
Dude didn't realize he had a heart for the longest time because of that. Because Khushi kept on breaking his heart by crying.
Alright, we're going to go down a tangent. Thanks for listening. Richie's going to be back with the Arnav analysis. And yep, that's it. Bye!
Bye!
Bye!